This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah's peace and blessings be on each and every one of you. I'd like to welcome you again to our series, The Best in Islam. In this series, we seek to grasp and to understand, to reflect on those issues which Allah and His Messenger have defined as the best. What is better for us? What is best for us? What is good for us, whether it be in our deeds, in our words, in our thoughts, in our possessions, in our acts, the rituals, etc., etc. And in this episode, we're going to be looking at Hijra, the concept of Hijra and the best of Hijra. We have a narration from Ibn Amr, in which he quoted the Prophet, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, as saying, أَفْضَلُ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ مَنْ هَجَرَ مَا نَهَى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ وَأَفْضَلُ الْجِهَادِ مَنْ جَاهَدَ نَفْسَهُ فِي ذَاتِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. The best immigrant is the one who emigrates from what Allah has prohibited. And the best jihad is that of one who strives against his own desires for the sake of Allah, most great and glorious. So the Prophet here, peace and blessings be upon him, explained an element, a concept within the general concept of Hijra. Hijra being leaving the land of disbelief and going to the land of belief. In the time of the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, it was leaving Mecca and going to Medina. It was obligatory on the Muslims when Prophet Muhammad made the Hijra or the emigration to Medina. So this became a principle, an ongoing principle. Of course, with the conquest of Mecca, that particular element of Hijra ended, the obligation of going to Medina. And the Prophet Muhammad was known to have said, La Hijrata ba'd al-Fath. After the conquest of Mecca, Fath refers to the conquest of Mecca, there's no Hijra required. If one chose to go there, it's still valid, not invalid, but the obligation of Hijra to Medina was no longer an obligation, no longer a requirement. However, the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, he also clarified that Hijra, with that same concept behind it, where we leave a land where we are having difficulty practicing Islam to try to go to a land where we can practice Islam properly, that remains an open principle until the last day. There's a well-known hadith in which he was quoted as saying, لا تنقطع الهجرة. Hijra will not end. حتى تنقطع التوبة. Until repentance ends. Till the time for repentance stops. Allah will not accept any repentance after that. Hijra will remain. So that was already an understood principle, this idea of hijra or emigration for the sake of Allah, for the sake of the deen, to be able to practice it better. Now, what we find is that in this narration, the Prophet ﷺ had said, the best immigrant is one who emigrates from what Allah has prohibited. He has taken it to an even more basic level, that ultimately emigration, hijra, is avoiding whatever Allah has prohibited. leaving it behind. Whatever Allah has prohibited in any area of life, any act, word, deed, etc., leaving it because it was prohibited, that is the best muhajir. One who applies that principle, not only in his physical movement from one place to another, but in his spiritual decision to follow the commandment of God and avoid, emigrate from, abandon, leave all which is displeasing to Allah, which is why he has prohibited it. Then the hadith goes on, though the main focus for which we quoted the hadith was hijra, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam adds to that, that the best jihad is one who strives against his own desires for the sake of Allah, giving us the foundational principle behind jihad. We said before that this concept of jihad has become distorted to the point where it is a dirty word. It's not a nice word. To praise or to encourage or to promote jihad is to invite the wrath of the West on oneself. The West that doesn't understand jihad. It uses the term jihadist in the newspapers, and they use it to apply to anybody who is engaged in terrorist acts. They'll call them as one of the optional names, from Muslim terrorist to jihadist or Salafist. There are a variety of other names which they have incorporated in order to demonize this principle of jihad. A principle whose foundation was the defense of Islam, to promote Islam and to defend its teachings, defend the right of all human beings to have access to Islam, Islamic teachings. So, the Prophet ﷺ here said that the best jihad is where one strives against one's own evil desires. Because the strive against the evil forces externally, if it is not preceded by the internal struggle to overcome our own internal evil forces, if we haven't dealt with the internal, then we will not be successful in dealing with the external. So this is why the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, stressed the most important aspect of jihad, where one tackles one's own weaknesses. And all of us have in ourselves many weaknesses. So the struggle begins at home, in our own hearts. And this is where we either win or we lose. As individuals, we win or we lose. Then the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, praises that individual who makes this jihad, jihadun nafs, as it is sometimes called, the struggle of the soul or the spirit. So as emigration fundamentally was a spiritual act where one has in fact abandoned what is displeasing to Allah, similarly, jihad is fundamentally a spiritual act also, wherein one seeks to strive against, to struggle with, to overcome the desires of our soul. Continuing with the thought of struggling with the desires, we have a verse from Surah Ali Imran, verse 180, in which Allah addresses one of the vices of the soul. He said, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ يَبْخَلُونَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُمْ بَلْ هُوَ شَرٌ لَهُمْ سَيُطَوَّقُونَ مَا بَخِلُوا بِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Those who greedily withhold some of the bounties which Allah has bestowed on them, think that it is good for them. No, it is bad for them. For it will be tied around their necks on the day of judgment. So here is the struggle of the nafs. Those who greedily withhold some of the bounties which Allah has bestowed on them. They don't share it. They don't pay the zakah required for it. They deny even their own relatives access to it. And they think that is a bounty from Allah. However, it's not good for them. They may see that their actions of greed keeps more of the wealth in their control. They're able to squander it and waste it more easily. But in fact, it's not good for them because they are involved in more and more sin. It is really evil for them. So they need, those people in that situation, need to struggle against their own desires. Their own desires for the accumulation of wealth and position, power, that they be praised. People envy them. They love it. But this is an evil state to be in. Because, as Allah goes on to say, it will be tied around their necks. All of what they have accumulated and not given their zakah on it, not given the right of the poor in it, all of this wealth will be tied around their necks like a millstone, tied around their necks on the day of judgment. They will be exposed and they will regret having not shared it with others. With that, dear viewers, we'd like to take a brief break, following which we will continue to look at some other aspects of the best in Islam.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. In Bukhari, there is a narration by Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu that once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stood over one of the high buildings of Medina and then said to the people, "Do you see what I see?" They said, "No." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I see afflictions falling among your houses as raindrops fall." That's how the parenting challenges of today sound like. It's a daunting task with lifestyle changes and more demands on the parents. Maintaining a balance between parenting job and other chores is very stressful. There is a plethora of duties with very little time devoted to parenting. Multitude of studies indicate that kids are involved in undesirable activities because there is failure to impart moral values to them. What to pre-plan to bring back balance in life and strengthen the family structure? We need focused, step-by-step guidelines to make sure that our kids grow into determined and not easily distractible Muslim Ummah. So me, Dr. Kamal Kesar, bring you this amazing course, A Visionary Child, a future investment for all the parents who can change the world, benefit the society, and be on the path of Jannah. This course is designed to bring clarity in the parenting practices so that parents understand the age-appropriate behavior of their child. And yes, using principles from Quran and Sunnah, develop a multi-dimensional tarbiyah plan for the child. Remember, vision is the art of seeing what is invisible to others. So don't miss this opportunity to overcome all the roadblocks that you have while you're trying to fulfill your responsibility as mentioned in Surah Tahrim, verse number 6. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O believers, save yourself and your families from the hellfire.
Welcome back from the break. Prior to the break, we were looking at the concept of hijra. Hijra for the sake of Allah. The basic hijrah, which is obligatory on us to leave areas where we can't practice Islam and go to other areas where we can, that requirement is preceded by internal hijrah, hijrah of the soul, where it abandons and emigrates away from what Allah has prohibited. Then we talked about the bounties which Allah has given and how people misuse them and do not share them with others, thinking that it is in fact good for them because now they have more to play with. But in fact, Allah tells us that it is not good for them. It will be tied around their necks on the day of judgment. Moving on to the concept of inheritance, what we leave behind, very important. Abu Qatada narrated that the Prophet ﷺ had said, خَيْرُ مَا يُخَلِّفُ الْإِنسَانُ بَعْدَهُ ثَلَاثُ وَلَدٌ صَالِحٌ يَدْعُو لَهُ وَصَدَقَةٌ تَجْرِي يَبْلُغُهُ أَجْرُهُ وَعِلْمٌ يُنْتَفَعُ بِهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ. The best things that a human being can leave behind are three: a righteous child who will pray for him, a continuing charity whose reward reaches him, and knowledge which benefits those who come after him. So, with regards to the best elements of inheritance, normally we think of the best being the wealth that we leave behind. But the Prophet ﷺ, he pointed out things whose spiritual value is far greater. The first, a righteous child who will pray for him. Leaving behind a righteous child. That righteous child is a product of his own efforts. Very important. His prayer for his parents or a parent who died has value because he is a product of them, of their upbringing for him. Whereas people who have nothing to do, no relationship to others, for them to make dua for them will not have the same impact. I'm not saying that there is no benefit. Depending on the individual and the circumstance, etc., there can be benefit, but it will not be like the benefit of a righteous child that he had raised and left behind. His benefit or her benefit will be far greater. Secondly, continuing charity whose reward reaches him. Continuing charity, he has done a charitable deed, and that charitable deed benefits not only those immediately in the vicinity of it who take the benefit from it, like a well. That first generation that got the well, they took all the water, they benefited. But also those who come after them. Those of the generation to follow that still benefit from that well. And after them, and after them. So all who would benefit from that well, and that's the provision of good, fresh water, all those who would benefit would make dua for that individual, or even if they didn't make dua, the fact that they benefited and they were grateful for it, then this is all beneficial to the one who left it behind in the first place. And the third is knowledge which benefits those who come after him. Knowledge, useful knowledge, beneficial knowledge, if he leaves behind that knowledge. And of course, when he dies, he's left it. But it means here, he leaves it behind by writing a book, or publishing a book, or making a video, or publishing a video. Whatever form that he or she has the ability to share their knowledge with others, then he or she should try to do so. So, if such a person who has been engaged in benefiting others through recordings in a variety of different ways, when that person dies, then they will still continue to reap the benefits from the good deed which they had done. So when we think in terms of our legacy and what we should leave behind, we should keep in mind certain practical things. When usually people tend to focus on the big things that will have a big plaque there saying, dedicated by, or donated by, so on, so on, so on, so. People tend to head for these types of opportunities. But in fact, one is doing that just to have his name upon the plaque. So people would know, so-and-so from the family of so-and-so gave so-and-so. But this is not the way Islamically. We should give people knowing what is being given to them, knowing to whom we're giving. Charity which is left behind will only be effective and beneficial if it is given to the right people. And if it is from our own wealth, not the wealth of others, then charity will benefit those who come after. But if one's relative, for example, were bad people, then to say that simply giving in charity and asking Allah to give the reward to those parents or relatives who were bad people, then know that the deeds of relatives who really had nothing to do with them, it was your parents who made you who you are. Do you learn nothing from that relative, that uncle, that grandfather, whoever? You learn nothing from them. Nothing of good. But you have gone and done a good deed and asked that Allah reward them. Then, you know, such an act of charity left behind, it is only acceptable to Allah if that person has the iman which makes it their right. If they didn't have any iman, they were not really practicing the deen, for people afterwards to do charitable acts expecting that it will benefit them, then this is not acceptable Islamically. It means then that simply because you have wealth, you can buy your way into heaven. But this is not possible. So that's why whatever is going to be done by a generation later, children, relatives, etc., it should be people who are related, who are the product of your deeds. Then there is a relationship. They're good because you raised them well. They're kind because you taught them kindness, etc., etc. So when they do acts of kindness and ask Allah to reward you, then it is quite reasonable that you are rewarded. However, I'm not saying that others who are not related or may not have been a product of their efforts, if they were to make dua for them or do any charitable act for them, it would not benefit them at all. But just know that it's just not an automatic thing. Allah will look at these people and judge them and decide whether your righteous deeds done after them will in fact, or should in fact, benefit them. Moving on to another area of what is in fact the best in da'wah, in the invitation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have in Surah An-Nahl, that's the 16th Surah, verse 125, in which Allah says there, اُدْعُوا إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِذَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنِ. Invite to the way of your Lord with wisdom and fair preaching, and discuss with them using what is better. So, in the course of giving da'wah, and we see here in this verse, a command. Allah commands us to invite all who we are in contact with, invite the non-Muslims, and even Muslims who have gone astray, invite them to the way of our Lord, with wisdom, using the wisdom of the Quran and the Sunnah, of the Sahaba, in a wise way, not straight to their face, give them an indirect da'wah, you know, use a variety of different techniques to reach them. Invite them with fair preaching in our words. The words that we use should be words which would be pleasing to them. They would feel our concern, our care, etc. Their hearts would be open. They would be motivated to hearing the message. And discuss with them with what is better. In the course of discussion, where you exchange ideas, etc., don't get into negative arguments, using harsh words, back and forth, so it becomes a major argument as opposed to merely a discussion and sharing of ideas. So that is the advice where Allah tells us to do all of this billati hi ahsan, using what is better. We always try the better route, the better words, the better circumstances. We try to choose what is best when we engage ourselves in calling others to Allah. And we will continue to look at this concept, the concept of what is best in da'wah, in our coming episode. And with that, dear viewers, we'd like to thank you for being with us on this segment of our episode from the Best in Islam program, dealing with invitation to Allah as well as the inheritance that we leave behind. So until we meet again in our coming episode, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.